Because you cannot put your faith in someone if you believe that he does not exist, or if you think he cannot be trusted. The truth is that many people claiming to place their trust in God really don't. They truly only trust what they think they can control. And we all know you can't control God. Many worldviews, even some claiming the title Christian, actually teach that salvation, enlightenment, paradise, nirvana, whatever, is achieved through what you do. It's the scales of justice. More good deeds plus less sin equals godliness. And that's anything but biblical. Because Christ doesn't say this or that is the way to salvation. He says, I am the way to salvation. So it's about our relationship with him. Because if it's all about what we do, then we don't really need Christ and his cross. We don't even really need God. Getting us away from bad ideas about performance-based religion, or on the other hand, about cheap and easy grace, and pointing us to the one thing that really matters, a relationship with God, was the central theme in a sermon that John Wesley gave at the University of Oxford in the summer of 1741. The sermon, as far as I can tell, didn't actually have a title, but Wesley might have called it Almost a Christian. Now, the curious thing about Wesley is I've often thought that he would never be allowed to preach in a modern Methodist church. He was just too much of a radical. I mean, look at it. The reason he becomes such an expert in open-air preaching is because he keeps getting banned from preaching in churches. You know, and it's sort of funny because he writes it down in his journal sort of kind of offhandedly. He says, preached at this church and was asked never to come back, and preached at that church and was told never to come back, and so on and so on. So why did Wesley offend so many people? And on the other hand, he attracted so many. Maybe it was because he was telling them things like that they were just almost a Christian. At Oxford University in July of 1741, Wesley begins by quoting from Acts 26:28 the words of King Agrippa, who has come to judge the Apostle Paul and has been so moved by Paul's testimony that he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And then Wesley begins. And many there are who go thus far. Ever since the Christian religion was in the world, there have been many in every age and nation who were almost persuaded to be Christians. But seeing it avails nothing before God to go only thus far, it highly imports us to consider, first, what is implied in being almost. Secondly, what in being altogether a Christian? Wesley establishes the central thrust of his theme, of his argument in this opening paragraph. He's saying there are lots of good people with great motives who just miss the mark. And Wesley says, when it comes to this faith, a miss is as good as a mile. It does nobody any good to come before God as almost a Christian. What we must be, says Wesley, is altogether a Christian. See, Wesley lived and preached and wrote in a time and place where it was more and more popular to believe that you didn't need God to lead a moral and righteous life. See, the great minds of the age were saying that mankind has the means both to know and to live an ethical life, a life filled with goodness and justice without any need of some divine being. And that was all that was required. Wesley also understood that being devoutly religious could be its own trap as well. He knew this because he was ordained in the church, had worked and taught in the church, and he knew who was attending those churches. In many places, good people who did all the right things and said all the right things, but had never come to know God. And Wesley says that almost doesn't count when it comes to being a Christian. And that sat no better with the people in Wesley's day than it sits with people in our day. People who would prefer not to have to rely on God or to look too closely at their own relationship with Jesus. So Wesley sets up these two camps. For Wesley, there are only those people who are almost a Christian, which he says doesn't do you any good in front of God, and those that are altogether a Christian. And notice that Wesley is telling his audience that you are either all in on this Christian thing or you're not. There's no safe middle ground. Wesley then goes on to define what it looks like to be almost a Christian, and he outlines different subgroups. The first being what he calls the honest heathen. People who consider themselves good people, and indeed many of them actually are, says Wesley. Honest heathens live by good rules of life. They try to treat everyone fairly. They don't covet their neighbor's stuff, take advantage of the poor, or cheat any person. They don't hold with liars. They feed the poor if they have something to spare. They donate clothing they no longer need. And they generally believe in following the rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Salt of the earth kind of people. And this is what Wesley calls the honest heathen. Wesley then goes on to talk about what we might call the religious folks. These would be the good Pharisees, like Saul before he became Paul. Wesley says that this is the person that has the outward form of godliness. The almost a Christian in this category, Wesley says, does nothing that the gospel forbids. They don't curse, they honor the Sabbath, they avoid all forms of immorality, they don't gossip or slander or speak evil of other people. Such a person doesn't drink too much or eat too much, being neither a glutton nor a drunkard. He doesn't fight. In fact, he or she turns the other cheek when others would wrong them, and try as best they can to live at peace with everyone. And the charity this person does is not just the easy, cheap sort of thing that doesn't really cost much effort, money, or time. No, this almost a Christian works hard at all they do in order to do as much good as they can for other people. And this almost a Christian never misses a chance to be in church or to conduct themselves with the utmost reverence and respect for the house of God. See, in Wesley's day, it was not uncommon for people to come in and show off all their wealth by their fine clothes and their jewelry. And we don't really have too much of that more in our churches today. But then Wesley talks about people who spend their time in the service sleeping, talking, and generally not taking anything very seriously. And that does happen quite a bit in our churches these days. Wesley says, however, the person he's talking about here, this almost a Christian, is not one of those kind of people. The almost a Christian comes to church dressed so as not to attract. They pay attention. They take everything about the service with enthusiasm. And they even take communion, as Wesley says, and I quote him here, not with a light or careless behavior, but with an air, gesture, and deportment which speaks nothing else but God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Wesley says such folks even have a robust private life, daily times for private devotion and times for family prayer. But these are still folks who are only almost a Christian. And Wesley says being such a person coming before God does no good. Now, I wish I lived up to such a standard. I mean, how many of our lives reflect such a devotion as Wesley's just outlined? And he's saying it's not good enough? I mean, you might begin to understand why people didn't really want to hear him preach in their churches. But he only gets worse. See, the first type, the honest heathen, does everything society says needs to be done to be a good person, but doesn't believe in the Christian God. And the next group, let's call them the Pharisees, they proclaimed themselves Christians and did all the right religious things, but they didn't really have the right heart. But then Wesley talks about the people who are sincere in their religious devotion. And let me again let Wesley speak for himself. By sincerity, I mean a real inward principle of religion from whence these outward actions flow. Wait a minute, John, what are you talking about here? Have you gone off the edge? Isn't this what we want? Isn't that what we tell people that Christianity is all about, having a sincere heart from which right actions flow? And Wesley goes on saying, sincerity, therefore, is necessarily implied in the being almost a Christian, a real design to serve God, a hearty design to do his will, that a man have a sincere view of pleasing God in all things, in all his conversations, in all his actions, in all he does or leaves undone. This design, if any man be almost a Christian, runs through the whole tenor of his life. This is the moving principle, both in his doing good, his abstaining from evil, and his using the ordinance of God. Wesley has just described a person that sounds completely sold out for the faith, who doesn't do anything that he or she thinks won't please God. And Wesley says, yeah, that's great, but they're just almost a Christian. I don't even know what you say to that. Can you imagine hearing that in church? No wonder people didn't invite Wesley back. See, I figure if anybody was still listening at this point, they were looking at a way to sneak out without being noticed. Either that or they wish they had brought some of that rotten vegetables with them this morning so they could really show this nutter what they thought of him. I mean, think about it. This is the guy who first laid out the principles for being a member of this denomination, of this very church, and he's talking like this. I mean, these days, we're ecstatic if we can just get a new person to walk through the front door. But Wesley gets it. He does. He understands just how tough what he's saying sounds. And he asks the question, is it possible, is it really possible for somebody to go this far, to be this dedicated, to do so much for God's glory, and yet still miss the mark? And in his sermon, Wesley actually asks his audience to forgive him if he's got this wrong. But he says, honestly, this is what I've learned from studying Scripture and from my own experiences. His own experiences, he says. Because he tells his audience, yeah, it's possible. And in fact, that was me for many, many years. That was me when I studied everything I could about this faith. That was me when I committed myself to being a preacher of the gospel and a minister of the church. That was me when I overcame my fear of being on a ship and gave my life to being a missionary in the New World. All of this, Wesley says, I did with a sincere desire to please God, to try and make him proud of me. Wesley's very words were, I did go thus far for many years, doing all this in sincerity, having a real design to serve God, a hearty desire to do his will in all things, to please him who had called me to fight the good fight and to lay hold of eternal life. Yet my own conscience beareth me witness in the Holy Ghost that all this time I was but almost a Christian. Wesley says, I'm telling you this because I've been there. Wesley is like any honest preacher who tries to handle the Word of God. You can only talk to people because you've been there or you are there. The Apostle Paul says something similar when he challenges his audience that nobody was a better Jew than he was. Nobody studied more. Nobody did more. Nobody was more sincere than I was, says Paul. And Paul is even harsher than Wesley when he tells his audience, it was all a great waste. And I consider everything I did, even though it was in the name of God, as nothing but soiled, filthy rags of no value. So Wesley then asks, what then is needed to be altogether a Christian? If all this other stuff, all this working and striving and trying to please God isn't enough, then really, what is? Love is what is needed, says Wesley. First, he says we have to be completely sold out in love with God. So filled with the love of God that there's just no room for anything else. I mean, it's even more profound than the first time you fell hard in love with another human. You couldn't eat, you couldn't sleep, you couldn't think about anything else. And Wesley says, yeah, it's like that. Only comparing the love of God to the love of a human is like comparing football fields to postage stamps. Secondly, Wesley says, is love of neighbor. The kind of love that buries our natural desire to make everything about us and instead truly desires what is best for the other person. And again, we hear the echoes of Paul as he says, yeah, I can give everything I have. I can offer up my very body to be burned as a sacrifice. But it's useless unless I have love, unless I have Christ in my heart. Now, here's the curious thing. See, we read and hear all the time that this walk with Christ is about love. But how often do we hear that as an excuse to be anything but loving? See, it's become the no-rules way, the easy way. Sort of a throwaway phrase, one that comes easily out of our mouths, but not so easily out of our lives, because love is sort of intangible. It's hard to get your hands around. See, it's easy to say I love God with all my heart and that I love my neighbor as myself, but really, what does that even look like? So we heard this stuff about love so often, it's not real anymore. We take it as some easy thing that all we have to do is talk about it, and it's the same thing as actually being in love with God. See, loving God is not that easy, I think, because he's hard to see. You can't touch him. It's hard to clearly hear from him. What does it really mean to love God with everything I have when I'm in pain, or I'm in fear, or I just want something because I want it, and love every person? I'm not sure how many people most of us even like, let alone love them. With the sort of love that means that their well-being is at least as important to me as my own is. How do you live that out? There's one more thing that is required, Wesley says, to being altogether Christian, and that is faith that God really is who God says he is, and that he will really do what he says he will do. And Wesley, like the Apostle James, warns that thinking that faith is no more than acknowledging the reality of God. After all, even the devil does that, right? Faith, true faith, that makes one altogether a Christian is not mere belief. It is a surrendering trust that transforms. See, if your life is not being changed by your faith, then you might be almost a Christian, but Wesley would say you're not altogether a Christian. The faith that is called for here might better be called trust, because you have to trust God to let him take control of your life. See, when we trust a certain mechanic, that's where we take our car. When we trust a certain doctor, that's who we want looking after our health. If we say we trust God, but we don't give him control of our lives, then we're just lying. If God is not in control of your life, all of it, then you don't trust him. You lack the faith that transforms one into altogether a Christian. Whosoever has this faith, thus working by love, Wesley says, is not almost only, but altogether a Christian. And then if that wasn't bad enough, Wesley really starts putting the pointy finger in our chest. He says, you know, I've been talking to you about honest heathens, about people who have the form of godliness, and even about people sincerely seeking to please God that are still just almost a Christian. And he says, but if we're honest, many of us don't even come close to being even almost a Christian. His actual words, are not many of you conscious that you never came thus far, that you have not been even almost a Christian, that you have not come up to the standard of heathen honesty, not the form of Christian godliness? Much less hath God seen sincerity in you, a real design of pleasing him in all things. You never so much as intended to devote all your words and works, your business, studies, diversions to his glory. You never even designed or desired that whatsoever you did should be done in the name of the Lord. That's pretty harsh. I can see why we might not invite him back. But who can afford not to hear this truth if being even almost a Christian carries no weight in front of God? It's all or nothing, Wesley says. You're either all in for God, completely and madly in love with him, or you're not. And it's just something you're doing for yourself. Something we are doing for ourselves. Remember I said at the beginning that religion and human philosophy teaches that salvation is something we achieve through what we accomplish. Which means that what we truly believe in, where we place our faith, what we trust, is ourselves. And that, Wesley says, is the difference between being almost a Christian and altogether a Christian. Who has your heart? What love truly consumes you? To be completely in love with God the way Wesley describes, it may sound more than you think you can give. It's somehow beyond your reach, maybe even too good to be true. And who honestly loves everyone? How is that even possible? And to completely trust a God I can't even see clearly, to trust him with my entire life, with the way I do my job, with the way I handle my money, with the way I treat people, with the way I let people treat me. I can't do it. And even if I could without God, then Wesley says, and I agree, I would still be just almost a Christian. Because this whole thing, what God wants is not for us to strive to please him out of our own strength, but to trust him with our whole hearts, with our entire everything. As C.S. Lewis said, God doesn't want part of us, part of our money, part of our time, part of our trust. God wants all of us. To be altogether Christian, we must be completely consumed by our love of God. And the only way for that to happen is to be completely consumed by God's love for us. A love that changes everything. I can't do it. You can't do it. We can only offer up everything and let God take it. See, God says, you can't, but if you will let me, I will make you into altogether a Christian, because I will take your heart. As the prophet Ezekiel was given to tell a nation, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26. As Wesley discovers at Aldergate, when God's Holy Spirit finally does take your old heart and give you a new one, it's no longer all about you. And if you find in your strivings and trust issues and clinging to old ways and fears that it's still really just all about you and your life, then maybe you don't have a new heart, and the best you can be is just almost a Christian. But if God is consuming you, then nothing is going to hide it. As Wesley says, then will the love of God shine forth from your heart, and you will find yourself honestly crying, my God and my all. And so John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, reaches out to us almost 300 years later and asks the question, which will we choose? Will we trust God with our entire lives and allow him to transform us into altogether a Christian? Or will we continue to place our trust in ourselves, make everything about us, and remain just almost a Christian? As the worship team prepares to point our hearts toward God, allow me to close with the words of Jeremiah the prophet as recorded in Holy Scripture. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Jeremiah 17.